طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 55th session. Now I'm reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute, Level 3 Fiqh. Last week we began to talk about the topic in the book of Siyam, Kitab al-Siyam, Mubtilat al-Siyam, the things which invalidate the fast. And today, inshallah, we're going to take the second part of that discussion from some of the secondary references. Last week we read from the textbook that we are using from Level 3 Fiqh, and we also read some comments from Bulugh al-Maram with the ta'aliqat of Sheikh Safiur Rahman, rahimahullah, and we also read from Al-Wajiz fi Fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz, some comments. What remains are the comments of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan in Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi and Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen and Ikhtiyarat of Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahumullah. So today, inshallah, we're going to try to read from the Mulakhis al-Fiqhi of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, pages 263, 264, and 265. As far as the other secondary references, we're going to try to read something from them. I don't know how much we'll be able to read, but I'll try to read the comments from Fiqh al-Ibadat and Ikhtiyarat al-Albani, yani as they relate to the comments of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. From Fiqh al-Ibadat, the pages that we have some comments on are page 273, 274, 277, 278, and 279, and Ikhtiyarat al-Albani from page 221, 226, points number 7, 8, 11, 12, and 13. That's for your reference. And hopefully it will be of some benefit to you. Okay, so now we're going to read from Al-Mulakhis Al-Fiqhi of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, the bab entitled Mufsidat As-Sawm. Babun fi Mufsidat As-Sawm. Any chapter related to the things which invalidate the fast. The Shaykh has mentioned a number of things here. Before I mention what he mentioned, I just want to ask you, from what we covered last week, what are the things that invalidate the fast? Number one, first thing, al-akl, eating. Okay, number two, drinking, ashurub. Voluntary, yani, intentional vomiting. Three, emission of semen. We're going to talk about that. Sexual intercourse. Sexual intercourse, naam. And what else? Anything else? Also, they mentioned last week the woman, if she has menses or after childbirth, yeah, the bleeding from menses after childbirth also invalidate the fast. Okay, but the main things that a person does is that they eat, they drink, they intentionally vomit, or they have sexual intercourse. Those are four things. The menses, hayd, and nifas, a woman doesn't have any control over that. That's something that happens naturally. Right, and then there was also the mention of seminal emission. Huh? There was mention of blood last week? No, I don't think in the textbook it was mentioned, right? No, okay, so inshallah it'll come up today. Okay, so what is confirmed definitely, no doubt about it, is that if a person intensely eats or drinks or has sexual intercourse with their spouse, or force themselves to vomit, clearly, the fast is invalidated. Hayd and nifas for the woman, also clearly, that's not by choice, not something that you do, it just happens naturally, right? As far as, the rest of the other things, inshallah, that the Shaykh discussed here, will come to them as we talk about them. Those are the things that we talked about last week that we are certain about. The one thing that was, there was one point mentioned last week in the textbook, and that was there was one other thing mentioned. It said Mubtilat, on page 73 it says Inzal al-Mani fi ghayr al-jima, seminal emission outside of sexual intercourse, by kissing one's spouse or hugging or other than that. Now, that's what you're referring to. Now, Inzal al-Mani. Well, that's what was mentioned there, and that's what we want to have some discussion about, okay? Like, maybe, yani, we'll see. But in any case, it's also mentioned by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. That's why I wanted to recall my memory. He also mentions it as the second point of the things that invalidate the fast. And there's a long discussion concerning this that we'll skip for now, yani, just so that we can go to the other points that the Sheikh makes, because he has a lengthy discussion. I mentioned a lot of points, a lot of what wasn't mentioned last week. Okay, so the first thing, the Sheikh, he says that لِسْسِيَامِ مُفْسِدَاتْ يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يَعْرِفَهَا لِيَتَجَنَّبَهَا وَيُحَذِّرَ مِنْهَا لِأَنَّهَا تُفْتِرَ الصَّائِمُ وَتُفْسِدُ عَلَيْهِ سِيَامَهُ وَهَذِهِ الْمُفْتِرَاتُ مِنْهَا كَذَا وَكَذَا. Okay, fasting has things which invalidate it. It is obligatory for a Muslim to know them. It's obligatory for a person to know them. Because if a person doesn't know them, what will happen? They may fall into them. So you must know them in order to avoid them and to warn from them. Because these things will break a person, a fasting person's fast. And they will corrupt his fast, meaning they will spoil it and invalidate it. And these things, muftirat or mufattirat, these things are what follows. The first thing that the Shaykh mentions is al-jima'ah. We don't need to have a long discussion about this, but he does make a couple of points. Yani, sexual intercourse. Whenever a fasting person has sexual intercourse, his fast became invalidated. And he is obligated to make up for the day of fasting in which he has had sexual intercourse, or she has had sexual intercourse. وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ مَا قَضَاهِ الْكَفَّارَ. And in addition to making up the day, they have to do the kafara, expiation. And this expiation is freeing of a slave. The expiation for kafara is freeing a slave. Period. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ الرَّقَبَ. But if a person is not able to find a slave, to purchase a slave, to free a slave, they don't have any ability to do so, the Shaykh says, أَوْ لَمْ يَجِدْ قِيمَتَهَا. Or he didn't find the amount, the value of freeing a slave, to give in, yani, charity. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَسُومُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِيَيْنِ. In that case, inability to free the slave, then a person is required at that point to fast for 2 months consecutively. Meaning that you cannot just fast 2 months. Rather, you have to free a slave. That's mandatory. But if you can't, you don't have the ability, there's no way to, then you have the option now, as second choice, not second choice, as the second possible means of expiation, you may, yani, fast for 2 consecutive months. Now,
you can find the slave, but you have the value of money for you and charity.
That appears to be the meaning of what the Shaykh is saying here. هو إتق رقبة فإن لم يجد رقبة أو لم يجد قيمتها فعليه أن يصوم شهرين متتابعين. That appears to be what he's saying. Huh? We can find out what's the value of a slave. Yani, we have to check and find out. Like, just like you, what's the value of gold? I don't know, but we can check, right? Find out. We don't want to get stuck on this point, because he mentioned it. I'm just reading what he said. That's all.
No, I just want to suggest another meaning. That does not mean that they may not have like slave in your locality, or you know, find slave. Or maybe they have slave, but you don't get the money.
No, that's possible. That could be the meaning. That's probably a better meaning to give to it, is that perhaps what the Shaykh means here, as Abdul Haq said, is that there's no slave available.
No.
He didn't find a slave in his land. He couldn't get to a land where there's a slave. There are slaves on the earth, but he couldn't get to a place with a slave. Or there are slaves, but he doesn't own one, and he doesn't have the money to buy one, to free one. He doesn't have the money to buy one. And he doesn't have a slave, nor he doesn't have the money to buy one. That could be the meaning. Now, inshallah, hopefully that's the meaning. We don't want to get stuck on this point. We have a long way to go.
I live
Some people practice going and screaming somebody who has a bail in prison, and they consider that being safe.
That could be some kind of interpretation, because certainly there is an opinion among some scholars that the person who has to free a slave might free a Muslim who is captive of war. That's possible. That's a possible interpretation. But in any case, as far as freeing somebody, paying somebody's bail to get out of prison, I don't know about that. And what are they in prison for? Are they in prison for robbing the bank? Then the money that they stashed, we're going to take it and bail them out? Anyway, let's not, Allahu alam. That's all I can say. Allahu alam. I don't know. That one I don't know. But, it could be a possible interpretation, as some scholars have said, freeing a slave could be freeing a Muslim who has been taken captive of war. That's a meaning that has been given by some of the scholars. Okay, let's go. The Shaykh, he said this, then he said he has to fast for two consecutive months. فَلَمْ يَسْتَطِيعَ صِيَامَ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ بِأَنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لِعُذْرٍ شَرَعِيٍ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُطْعِمَ 60 مِسْكِينًا. Here the Shaykh says, but what if the person is not able, if the person is not able to fast for two consecutive months, meaning that لَمْ يَقْدِرْ, he is not able to fast for the two consecutive months due to a shar'i udhr. Udhr shar'i. Yani he's not able to fast because he has a excuse in the sharia that excuse him from fasting. Some kind of sickness. Sharia reason that excuse him from fasting. A person who has a certain type of sickness, when Ramadan came, get the excuse from fasting. That person will be, they will have an excuse. In that case, they don't have to fast for two consecutive months. Rather, then that person has to feed 64 people. 64 people. Here the Shaykh says, لكل مسكين, pay attention, نصف صاع من الطعام المأكول في البلد. They have to feed 64 people. Each poor person, one half of a صاع from the food that is eaten in the land. It's clear? Anybody have a comment?
So, overall, how much is that? How much?
Huh?
If somebody, how much are you going to fill for one?
A half a sa'a.
So, what are you going to buy?
You're going to buy half a sa'a, half a sa'a of wheat or rice or dates or raisins or whatever the people eat in that land. Whatever the people eat in that land. You should buy something that the people eat in that land. That can be measured by volume. Not by weight, by volume. Sa'a. Half a sa'a is 2 mud. Yani 2 hands like this, twice. Okay, so I'll move on then. If nobody has a comment, and then I'll let you figure it out. Huh? There's another opinion that a quarter of a sa'a is what you have to give. Anybody ever heard that opinion? No. I just mentioned it last week though, but probably you forgot. You don't remember the hadith in Bulugh al-Maram that we read? That the Prophet ﷺ told a man who had sexual relations with his wife to take these 15 sa'a and feed 64 people? 15 sa'a is equal to how many mud?
60.
60 people with 60 mud, does it mean a half a sa'a or a ruba sa'a? A ruba sa'a. We just mentioned that last week. Okay, no problem. No problem, let's move on. Point number two. There's difference of opinion, right? That's the point that we're going to make. There's difference of opinion. Sheikh is saying half a sa'a, but Sheikh Safi Rahman said the hadith indicates it's a 1 mud for each person. If you have to feed 60 people with 15 sa'a, that's 60 mud.
Yeah, so Sheikh, for the 2 mud, does he have like a hadith for that?
There must be, for sure. I don't know what it is though. So I'm saying that this is 2 different views, right? The view that we expressed last week seems to be clearly derived from the hadith. Clearly. It doesn't require a lot of explanation. The hadith is clear. But in any case, this is fiqh, right? And fiqh, there's room in fiqh for difference of opinion. The second point is the point that requires a lot of discussion, and we're not going to be able to discuss it completely in detail, but we'll have to come back to it. I'm just going to mention it in passing. He says, point number two, second thing that invalidates the fast, inzalu al-mani. That's what Abu Bakr mentioned earlier. Inzalu al-mani. Yani, semen emission. Emission of semen. بِسَبَبِ تَقْبِيلْ أَوْ لَمْسٍ أَوْ إِسْتِمْنَاءٍ أَوْ تِكْرَارْ نَظَرٍ. Yani, if a person has the emission of semen as a result of kissing or touching or masturbation or repeated looking, yani looking with lust that caused them to have seminal emission. If this happens, any of these things happen, فَسَدَ صَوْمُهُ, then his fasting became invalidated. وَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَى فَقَطْ, and he has to make up the day only, not kafara. And this is because the kafara is specifically, exclusively related to sexual intercourse, al-jima'a. That's point two. We're going to come back to it with some discussion. Also he said, as far as the sleeping person who has a dream in their sleep where they have emission of semen in their sleep, then there's nothing upon him. Yani there's no penalty or anything. وَسِيَامُهُ صَحِيِّ, and his fast is valid. And that is because this has happened بِدُونْ اِخْتِيَارِهِ, yani not by choice. وَلَكِنْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْإِقْتِسَالُ مِنَ الْجِنَابَةِ, but however this person is obligated to what? To take a ghusl from janaba.
Not for the siyam but for the prayer.
The siyam is valid, but they have to take ghusl for prayer. And because prayer is going to come at some point, right? Five times a day. طيب, point number three. الأكل والشرب متعمدا, eating and drinking intentionally based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Second Surah 187th ayat, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ تِمُّوا الصِّيَامُ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eat and drink until the خَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ, the white thread, meaning the light of the dawn, becomes distinct from the black thread, the darkness of the night, then complete the fasting up until nightfall. Yani according to the sunnah, up until maghrib. Nightfall here means maghrib. Eat and drink, yani until the light of dawn becomes distinct from the darkness of the night, of the fajr, the light of dawn of the fajr, and then complete the fast until night, meaning yani that you can eat and drink until the day breaks, yani until dawn. So eating and drinking intentionally invalidates the fast. As far as the person who ate or drank forgetfully, then this has no effect on the fast. Based on the hadith, whoever ate or drank forgetfully, then he must complete his fast, for indeed Allah has given him to eat. Reported by Bukhari, Muslim, and others. Sheikh goes on to say on the eating and drinking intentionally, and also from that which, he this is listed as point number three, under eating and drinking intentionally. Okay? The Sheikh says, وَمِمَّا يُفْتِرْ الصَّائِمُ إيصال الماء ونحوه إلى الجوف عن طريق الأنف وهو ما يسمى السعوط, يعني بسين عين انطا سعوط, يعني snuff. From that which breaks the fast of the fasting person is water reaching inside his jawf, يعني the internal part of the body, the abdomen, or whatever is similar to it. ونحوه عن طريق الأنف, that came through the nose. And that, the thing that he says, وَنَحْوِهِ, that entered the body through the nose, هُوَ مَا يُسَمَّى السَّعُوطَ, that is snuff. Here I want to stop. I don't know if anybody knows what is snuff. Older people should know what snuff is. Young people might not. In any case, it is, huh? Yeah, it's not a dust, but yes, it is actually ground up tobacco. Naam, that the people sniff into their nose, and it has a nicotine effect, like smoking the cigarette, but through the nose, and it also has some kind of smell, and people also use it other ways. But the Sheikh is talking about here, sniffing it into the nose. He said that this caused the fast to be broken, huh? Huh?
Yeah,
the Sudanese?
Yeah, yeah.
Not just Sudanese.
Like powder or
they use it in America, in the South especially they used to use it. The older people when I was growing up used to use it. It was very common. Today you don't hardly see it, but in any case, Sheikh is saying this invalidates the fast. And this is a discussion that we just mentioned it because he mentioned it. Huh?
So when you broke
When you brush your teeth with toothpaste, there's a difference of opinion about this. Okay, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that it's better not to do it. Because there's some substance in it that's very strong in the toothpaste, it might go down, and he considers that if it does do that, if you don't prevent it from going down, then it invalidates the fast. Other opinion, yani Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he said that, I don't have a position concerning this. One way or another, I don't know that there's evidence that it breaks the fast. Finally, the third view is that there's nothing. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, there's nothing that breaks the fast except food and drink or that which substitutes for it. Yani toothpaste or dust or stones or grass or something that's not food or drink, it doesn't break the fast. And that's why if a person takes medications that are not for nutritional benefit, it doesn't break the fast. This is like a long discussion. We're not going to discuss it today. No, we're not going to discuss it today.
So when you're cooking and then you want to taste it but without swallowing it?
You can taste it as long as you don't swallow it.
Okay.
If you have to, it's better not to. But you should be careful, right? In any case, if it's not food or drink, or it doesn't go into the internal part of the body, it doesn't break the fast. If you put it in your mouth and spit it out, it doesn't break the fast. Allah, all the questions that are being asked are good questions. But the time, yani. At another time, inshallah, we can discuss some of these things in more detail. But, yani, we have to try to limit a little bit of it so we can get through the text. Okay? Any pressing question, no problem. We'll try, you know, as best we can. But some of it we're going to have to come back to because some of it requires full discussion. And then maybe one of those issues would take the whole class. Any one issue here can take the whole class. And that's a fact. Yani, the issue of Inzal al-Mani, that can take the whole class by itself. Easily. Or two classes. It will, inshallah. طيب, so, the Shaykh, he says, also, أخذ المغذي عن طريق الوريد. Yani, intravenous, IV. Taking nourishment by intravenous. This also invalidates the fast. المغذي. That means something that's used for nutrition. The IV that's used for nutrition, not the IV that's used to combat infection or something. No, the IV that's used as nutritional purpose. وَحُقْنُ الدَّمْ فِي الصَّائِمِ. Blood transfusion. This requires some discussion. Blood transfusion. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ يُفْسِدْ سَوْمُ. All of this invalidates the fast. لأنه تغذية له. Because all of these things are used to as a means of nutrition for the person. Is anybody a doctor here?
No.
Where's Dr. Mustafa? He's not here today, huh?
When you say blood transfusion, we know blood has different types of products in there. You have plasma, the white blood cell.
Okay.
He
means the whole blood. He means the whole blood. Blood transfusion. When you have a blood transfusion, they give you blood, right?
No. Medically, they don't even transfuse whole blood.
Oh, they just take something out of it?
Yes, they give you RBC, glucose, whatever you need.
Okay, so that's why I asked, is anybody a doctor here? Because I'm not in a position. I don't have the qualifications to talk from a medical perspective. Okay? Anyway, Dr. Mustafa, he's a doctor. He's a doctor. So, oh, that's your fear also. Okay. So for medical purposes, then you can answer the question for us. But the point is, I don't know what the Sheikh means. But if medically, blood transfusion doesn't mean whole blood, but it means something from the blood, then what he is intending here, because he says at the end, لِأَنَّهُ تَغْذِيَةٌ لَهُ, because it is a means of nourishment for the person. So, because he said that, I will say, he means the blood transfusion that's used for nourishment. He doesn't mean something that's taken out of the blood, and given somebody has a blood transfusion, something from the blood, that's not for nutritional purposes. It has some other purpose. He doesn't mean that. Inshallah, he doesn't mean that. Because he said right here, the reason why these things invalidate the fast, because they are for the purpose of nutrition for that person who's getting the blood transfusion. So, based on what you said, I would say he doesn't mean absolutely any kind of blood transfusion, but he means the blood transfusion that's for nutritional purposes. Okay? And if you look at everything that he says here, those things are for nutritional purposes. Okay? So, let's leave it with that. Yani, alhamdulillah, that is a benefit for us, that perhaps that's what he really means. He means the type of blood transfusion that's for, as he said here, it invalidates the fast. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ يُفْسِدُ سَوْمَهُ لِأَنَّهُ تَغْذِيَةٌ لَهُ. For that reason. So that's what he means then. He states clearly here. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا. And also included in this is حُقْلُ الصَّائِمْ بِالْإِبْرِ الْمُغْذِيَةِ. And also an injection that the patient receives, the fasting person receives by a needle. يعني
hypodermic,
like an injection.
Yeah.
An injection of that which serves the purpose of nutrition. Okay, so there's intravenous and then there's injection. Both of them, he's saying, if it's for the purpose of تغذية, يعني for nutrition, it invalidates the fast. لِأَنَّهَا تَقُومُ مَقَامَ الطَّعَامِ. And here he makes clear again. لِأَنَّهَا تَقُومُ مَقَامَ الطَّعَامِ. Because this substitutes, takes the place of food. Person can't eat, they give them some kind of nutritional injection, intravenous or something like this. It's taking the place of food. Even Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah says in one of his fatawa that we read in the class some years ago during Ramadan, he said that even if it's for nutritional purposes, maybe it doesn't break the fast. Because some people, because there's two sides to this food. There's the satisfaction of hunger, and then there's the benefit to the body. The person who has intravenous for 6 months may survive because they have nutrition, but if they got off the intravenous, they can't wait to eat. They're still starving for the desire to eat. So the Shaykh is saying, perhaps this is even questionable, whether or not this breaks the fast, the intravenous. Anyway, whoever wants to go back, we can try to find the fatwa, and it's recorded, so we can look for it, it's not that difficult. But here's the point, most of the scholars are saying, the majority view is, if it has nutritional benefit, then it invalidates the fast. Now? Now?
Yeah, I mean, nutritional, when they say nutritional,
meaning it suffices the body, is substitute for food and drink. Yani, whatever they're given makes them to be free of need. They can survive and remain healthy without eating or drinking by this nutritional supplement, whatever it is.
Yes,
that's what's intended.
From what I know, when they do any type of blood transfusion, it's not necessary for nutrition.
It's not necessary for nutrition. Yeah. So then
you say after they got up from the transfusion, they need
to eat. Yeah. Okay, so the point is,
in America,
yeah,
by law,
yeah.
Cold
okay.
So they look into what you need.
To see what they need, and they give them what they need.
Give you what you need.
So the blood transfusion is according to the need of the patient.
Now, if you are Muslim and you come to the hospital, because those cases arise sometimes in the hospital, they come, the doctor tries to explain them, this is not nutrition based. This is something that you need from the blood, and you need to do that.
Okay, so according to the scholars who say that the only thing that breaks fast, this is the opinion of Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And even Sheikh Uthaymeen said this in many fatawa, even though sometimes he said some other statements that seem maybe to not be in accord with that. But the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah is crystal clear. And that is that nothing breaks the fast from food that goes into the body unless it's actual food or drink or that which substitutes for it makes you free of need of food or drink. Anything else that goes into the body for medical reasons or other than that, that doesn't substitute for food and drink, it does not break the fast. This is really the strongest opinion in the matter if anybody researches it. But look, we can't get stuck on one point. There's a lot of other points here. Okay, that's one point, alhamdulillah. Your point is clear. Yani, that blood transfusion is for different purposes. If it's for the purpose of nutrition, it invalidates the fast. If it's not, then it doesn't. And that's according to the majority view.
But maybe what you said now, specific to the
I think a clear example is the difference between insulin injection and a B12 injection. B12 injection is like food.
B12 injection is like food.
Without that,
and insulin.
Because vitamins.
Yeah.
The insulin is for your health.
For your health.
That doesn't have nutritional value.
No.
Okay, Abdul Haq. You wanted to say something?
Just to make sure, what you're saying, is it specific to the United States or every country?
I don't know about all the countries, but in America, okay. And for health benefit, if you go to the hospital and they give you your whole blood, you deserve to say, no, I don't need a whole blood, because you may develop diseases after that. The blood is taken, there's a lot of components.
Okay, so it's something, this is a medical issue that requires us to do some medical research, okay? This is not the place for that right now, but in any case, it's something that some of us need to research. Look, there are medical fatwa books collected of contemporary scholars of medical fatwa. We can look in those books and see what they have said about this, because these fatwa are based on scholars of the Sharia consulting with medical doctors who are experts in those fields that they're given the fatwa about. So we can go to those books and we can check and see what they said, and that would be easier than us trying to guess. The Sheikh also says, وَذَلِكَ then he says, أَمَّا الْإِبْرَ غَيْرَ مُغْذِيَ as far as the injection that is not for nutritional purposes, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلصَّائِمْ أَيْضًا أَنْ يَتَجَنَّبُهَا he said, even this, it is more befitting that the fasting person avoid it, even if it's not for يعني nutritional purposes, مُحَافَظَةً عَلَى سِيَامِهِ just to protect and preserve, يعني as a precaution, to just avoid يعني the possibility of invalidating the fast. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, دَعَ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Meaning that if there's some doubt in the matter, don't do it while you're fasting. Wait until you break your fast and then do it later if possible, يعني in order to protect and preserve your fast from doubt. يعني delay it until the night, the Sheikh said. Delay it until the night if possible. Naam, Abu Bakr? Okay. Okay, point number four. إخراج الدم من البدن. يعني, meaning what? يعني taking blood out, extracting blood from the body. B. حجامة أو فصد أو سحب دم لتبرع به لإسعاف مريض يفطر بذلك كله. And you're taking blood out of the body, whether it's by hijama. What is hijama called in English?
Cupping.
Naam. They have a technical term too, but cupping is fine for me. Or, yani fasting means, yani, opening a vein, to bloodletting. Yani not hijama, just opening a vein to let blood out. Or sahab dam, or yani drawing blood as a means or for the purpose of donating it to a sick person. Yani, all of this invalidates the fast. This may require some discussion.
Yeah.
Cupping, yeah, there's, yeah, there's. There's two opinions of the scholars of Sunnah concerning this, whether or not cupping breaks the fast or doesn't break the fast. Okay, so that's a fiqh issue that requires a session. That's a session. If you go to the hospital, we'll talk about that inshallah. That comes next. Okay, as a part of number four, he said drawing blood like hijama, or opening the vein, bloodletting, or drawing a significant amount of blood to donate to a person who is sick, who's needing emergency care. And they need a significant, they're not just taking a couple of drops of blood, they're taking a large amount of blood. Then this invalidates the fast. As far as ikhraj dam qaleel, a little bit of blood, like that which is taken out, litahleel. For a little blood test, a couple of drops of blood they take for a blood test, he said, this doesn't affect the fast. And likewise, خروج الدم بغير اختياره. And if blood came out, yani unwillingly, not by choice, like nosebleed or wound or pulling of a teeth, this also doesn't affect the fast. Here, I think I just want to look at two, yani, points here. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says about this blood, yani testing for blood, on page 273, question number 155, testing for blood or donating blood by the fasting person. Yani what is the ruling concerning taking a blood test or donating blood by the fasting person? At tahleel, the blood, just taking blood for a blood test examination, for the fasting person, there's no harm in doing that. That means taking just a sample of blood in order to look at it or to test it. This is permissible and there's no harm. As far as a tabarru, blood donation, as far as blood donation, what appears to me, the Shaykh is saying, my view of it is that donating blood, it's going to be a lot of blood. And this takes on the ruling of hijama. And his view concerning hijama is that invalidates the fast. The other scholars who say it does not invalidate the fast. But according to the view of those who say hijama invalidates the fast, he said this is like hijama. It should be said to the fasting person, do not yani donate the blood, except if a necessity calls for it. Yani, in that case there is no harm. And that is if a doctor says this person has been yani afflicted with hemorrhage, hemorrhage, right? And that person, if they are not given some blood, then they would die immediately. If they found a fasting person who's willing to donate that blood, and the doctor says to him, it's a necessity that you donate it right now, the person is going to die. In that case, there's no harm in the fasting person donating the blood. However, they break their fast by doing so, and then they should eat and drink for the rest of the day. Because they have broken their fast for an emergency, a necessity, like the person who breaks their fast to free somebody from a fire or somebody who is drowning. Huh? If they break their fast because they're hungry?
Yeah, they couldn't take the hunger. And then how many they have to pay back?
This requires a long discussion, okay? The person who breaks their fast intentionally by eating or drinking, they have to make up the day. They have to make up the day. No, the kafara is exclusively related to sexual intercourse. But there are some scholars who say the person who breaks their fast intentionally, they can't make up the day. Yeah, it's a sin. They have to repent from it. Anyway, that requires some discussion, inshallah. We'll talk about it before we finish, inshallah. We'll talk about it before we finish. But I want to read what it says about it. There's just one more point. The blood, khuruj ad-dam min as-saim. Shaykh Uthaymeen also says on page 277 of Fiqh al-Ibadat, question number 164 and 165, they ask him the question, what is the ruling concerning blood coming out from the fasting person, from their mouth or from their nose, or from any other part of the body? The Shaykh said, لَا يَضُرُّهُ خُرُوجُ ذَلِكَ. Yani this blood coming out doesn't harm the person. Meaning, as long as they didn't do it intentionally. So if a person has a nosebleed, وَخَرَجَ مِنْهُ دَمْ كَثِيرٌ. Even if a lot of blood came out from the nosebleed, فَإِنَّ صَوْمُ الصَّحِيِّ, then his fasting is valid. وَلَا قَضَاءِ لَهِ, and he doesn't have to make up the day. Second question related to that, they asked the Shaykh, what if the person himself caused the blood to come out? Like they went to the doctor and said, pull this tooth. Because, knowing that the blood is going to come out. The Shaykh says, La haraj alayhi aydan. Also, there's no blame on the person for this. Because he didn't have the tooth pulled to make blood come out. Rather, he had the tooth pulled to escape from the pain that he was suffering from. So this person, he only had this tooth pulled because, of the pain. And also, normally, a tooth being pulled, it's not going to be a lot of blood. Dam yasir, it will be a little bit of blood, and this is not similar to, doesn't have the meaning of hijama. It's not like al-hijama. I just wanted to read those two fatawa because they're related to what we just talked about now.
Is there any actual hadith about hijama?
There are hadith about hijama, no. Both ways. So there's difference of opinion about it. It requires some discussion. Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Naam, that the person who does the hijama and the one who it is done to, both of them, their fast is broken. And there's also hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did hijama while he's fasting, and there's no indication that he made up the day. That's what I'm saying. There's hadith on both sides. This requires a more lengthy discussion. Okay, none of the secondary sources covered that particular topic, so I'm not going to do it now, but in any case it does require some discussion. There's opinion of the scholars of Sunnah on both sides. Some scholars, Shaykh Uthaymeen is amongst them, who said that it does break the fast. and other scholars, from the earliest scholars and contemporary scholars, say it does not break the fast. So there are both sides. Okay, just quickly to try to finish, how much time is remaining?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, the last 2 points that I want to make, and then like we'll come back to it next week, the remaining comments. Last 2 points, the Sheikh mentions number 4 and number 5. Okay, number 4 is blood coming out of the body. Number 5, also from the things that invalidate the fast, is vomiting. That is, causing the food that's in the stomach to come out, or the drink that's in the stomach to come out, by way of the mouth, intentionally. This breaks the fast. I'm competing with the other people. Please, brothers, if you have to talk, please lower your voice, please. Because we're just trying to close out right now, just the last couple of points, and we only have a couple of minutes. Also from the things that break the fast is vomiting, causing the food to come out of the stomach by way of the mouth intentionally. This does break the fast of the fasting person. As far as if the vomit came out unintentionally against his will, without his choice, then this doesn't affect his fast. This is based on the saying of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ذرعه القي فليس عليه قضاء. Whoever was overcome by vomiting against their will, then there's no need to make it up. ومن استقى عمدا فليقضي. But whoever did it intentionally, then they have to make up the day. This means, yani the Shaykh said, ذرعه القي means خرج بدون اختياره. Yani whoever was overcome by vomit, meaning it came out not by his choice. And the meaning of استقاء أي تعمد القي. Yani استقاء means that the person intentionally, willingly, yani caused this to happen, yani by choice. Okay, because of the time being what it is, inshallah we're going to stop here. The Shaykh goes on to talk about, we'll cover it next week. Yani, what do you put in the eyes? Kuhul. And he talked about putting drops in the eyes for treatment. And he talked about madmada and istinshaq, yani putting water in the mouth, in wudu and in the nose. Talked about siwak. Talked about other things going into the body unintentionally. And then he talked about some other matters that's related to, yani other matters related to fast, not related to food and drink and things going into the body. Inshallah, we'll try to read the rest of his comments in the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And the other view concerning yani semen coming out of the body due to hugging or kissing or yani masturbation. Next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And also asthma, the asthma pump.
Yeah, asthma pump.
Doesn't break the fast, for sure.